Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. Just yesterday, I saw a news story that came out where there are three so-called Christian ministers who are saying that there is nothing wrong with having a sexual relationship outside of a God-given marriage. What the Bible calls fornication and sin, these three alleged Christian ministers say that it is completely fine. And so I want to talk about that this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program in a lesson that I've entitled, Fornication is Not Safe Sex. You know, we've had people describe fornication as living together and two consenting adults, an open relationship, various other kinds of phrases. It used to be called shacking up, but today it's just simply living together. We euphemize, we make sin sound better than it really is. And what some have called the new morality, since at least the 1960s, is simply old immorality. It's what the Bible calls fornication. And a sexual relationship outside of a God-given marriage is sinful and wrong. And you'll be eternally lost for it, as we'll see in just a moment, as the scriptures point out. That's not my opinion, of course. I would never give my opinion on the Let the Bible Speak program. We want to let the Bible speak on this program, not my opinion. And so I want to look at that this morning, and I'm glad that you have joined us this morning. I'd like to begin by looking a little bit at some quotes from these three so-called Christian ministers, and then we want to look at the Bible and see what it says about fornication. Is it really a sin? And then how can we flee from that and stay away from that? And then finally, what fornication will do for a person or persons, the negative effects of that, the problems with that. So we're glad that you've joined us. Get your Bible out and let's take a look at this very important topic today. I saw a statistic recently where anywhere from 70 to 97% of Americans have a sexual relationship outside of marriage. This could be before they're married or while they're married. 70 to 97%. That's a lot of folks. And it doesn't help that people who claim to be Christian ministers are saying that it is okay. Recently, in the Huffington Post, three so-called Christian ministers, and I keep saying that and will continue to do so because they are not Christian. They are not rightly preaching the Word of God. That's how they describe themselves. But they have said that a sexual relationship before marriage is, quote, not sinful. It is, quote, unreasonable. It is, quote, outdated and silly to expect people to stay chaste until marriage. One said that he doesn't judge those who will have a sexual relationship outside of marriage. These individuals that were interviewed in the Washington Post were a certain Brandon Robertson, an open homosexual who leads Mission Gathering Christian Church in San Diego, Chalice Overy, who is an associate pastor at Pullen Memorial Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, and a man only identified as Michael, who is currently dating three women and a man. He serves as a clergyman in San Antonio, Texas. Robertson said about a sexual relationship outside of marriage, he said, quote, I think the evangelical church world that I come from has taught some really unhealthy ideas about sex and sexuality, and I spend a lot of my time trying to deconstruct purity culture in favor of a healthier, more holistic view of sexuality. He goes on to say, quote, I believe for some people, waiting for marriage before having sex can be a very healthy path. I also believe that for most people, sex before marriage is a healthy expression of the gift of sexuality and is not sinful or morally wrong. The female minister in the Baptist Church of Raleigh, North Carolina, her last name is Overy, made similar remarks. She said, quote, I honestly think it's unreasonable to expect people to wait until they are married to have sex, if we expect people to make thoughtful decisions about who they marry. She goes on to say with regard to this that she personally, quote, wants a man to get to know me, not just my body. She goes on to say, quote, but if we are willing to do the spiritual and emotional work of intimacy, should we deny ourselves the joy of physical intimacy? I don't think so. And then the so-called minister Michael of San Antonio, Texas says, quote, one of the worst things the church has done is to take God and the divine out of the bedroom and shame people for their desires and practices. He goes on to say, I have always believed that contractual arrangements, including marriage, are not the boundary on sex. Our own personal ethics are. In talking about a sexual relationship outside of marriage, this Michael goes on to say, quote, it simply is an outdated and silly expectation, in my opinion. Like anything else, sex can be manipulative, unhealthy, or used as a power differential. Sex or even dating without sex with a congregant is never okay because of the power differential. Within relationships of equals or with agreed upon boundaries, though, it is healthy and beautiful. So, we have so-called Christian ministers saying that it is okay to have a sexual relationship outside of marriage. It's not sinful. It's not immoral. And it's their opinion. It's what they think and what they feel. But what does God say, friends? We don't go by what ministers say and feel, including myself. What does the Bible say? What does God's Word say? What does God Himself say through His Word? That's what's important. At the end of the day, that's all that really matters. Otherwise, we're left with chaos and confusion. And what we read in the book of Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We're seeing that so much even today. Let's let the Bible speak about fornication, a sexual relationship outside of a God-given marriage. The word itself, fornication, comes from the Greek word porneia, from which we get pornography, pornographic, things such as that. It means illicit or unlawful, and by God's law, not man's law, illicit or unlawful sexual intercourse with someone or something, like bestiality, which was condemned under the law of Moses in the book of Leviticus. A man was not to lie with a beast. Any unlawful sexual intercourse with someone or something, not your lawful spouse. It can involve someone who is unmarried or married, according to Jesus in Matthew 5:32 and Matthew 19:9. What does the Bible say, in particular the New Testament, what does it say about fornication being a sin? Is it a sin? Remember, these so-called ministers are saying it is not sinful. What does the Scripture say? Well, first of all, fornication, if you want to jot down a few Bible passages, we're going to look at this places where this Greek word porneia or fornication is used in the New Testament. If you want to jot them down, take time to read them on your own, you'll find the truth about this matter. It was to be avoided by Christians, Acts chapter 15, verses 20 and 29, also 21, 25. Acts 15, 20. Stay away from fornication. It's listed as a sin worthy of death, Romans chapter 1 and verse 29. See also Romans 6 and verse 21. It was not to be found in the church. And when one was engaged in that, they were to be put away. If they were not to repent of that, they were to be disfellowshipped. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. 2 Corinthians 12, 20 and 21. And I just want to read one of those. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. These so-called Christian ministers aren't telling people the truth about this. They're not even just reading the Bible passages. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, Paul writes, And by the way, I'll stick with the Apostle Paul rather than these so-called Christian ministers. The Apostle Paul writes, "Or know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators," that's what we're talking about on today's program, a sexual relationship, before and without and beyond a God-given marriage, "neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men," the King James says homosexuals, "neither thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." You cannot be in the kingdom. That's the truth of the matter, friends. It might hurt, but it's the truth. And we need to stop it and get out of it. And that's the next verse. "And such were some of you, but you were washed," that's baptism, "in water for the remission of your sins. You were sanctified, set apart. You were justified, made right in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." That's a serious thing. Paul says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, he says the same thing if you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Fornication is not to be found in an individual, and it's also a work of the flesh that will keep one out of the kingdom. We read that in 1 Corinthians 6, and Paul repeats it again in Galatians chapter 5. Turn with me there. He lists several works of the flesh or several sins, and fornication is listed in verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh which are manifest are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, division, partying, envying, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I forewarned you." This is the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to stick with what he says. "I forewarned you." We need to be warning people about these things, not encouraging it and condoning it. He writes, "I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Same thing that he said in 1 Corinthians 6. At the top of the list, Galatians 5:19, is fornication, which is a sexual relationship, any illicit, unlawful, by God's law, sexual intercourse with someone or something not your lawful spouse. Lawful being by God's law. And really, isn't that the whole point, friends? People are giving up on God's law, the Bible. They're tossing it out the window and just doing whatever they want. And on top of that, they'll claim to be a Christian minister preaching the Bible to people, and they're not even correctly preaching and teaching that to people. It's just a book that you hold in your hands, and then you interpret it any way you want and call yourself a Christian minister. Look at that verse. Can you imagine going down through Galatians 5:19? They said that, these ministers said that fornication is not a sin. Well, let's just take each one of those. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry is not a sin. Sorcery is not a sin. Enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, division. None of those things are sins. Partying, envying, drunkenness, reveling. None of that's a sin. If you can do it with one, you can do it with all. What else about fornication? It's not becoming of Christians. If you're taking some notes on some Bible passages, it's not becoming of Christians. Ephesians 5:3-5. It is a part of the old sinful man that needs to be put away. Colossians 3:5. It will be judged by God. I'll come back and read Hebrews 13:4 in just a minute. It's an act needing repentance, Revelation 2:21 and 9:21. It's a filthy, corrupt sex act, Revelation 14:8, 17:4 and 19:2. And it is punishable in hell fire. Let's read a couple of Bible passages. It'll be judged by God and it's punishable by hell fire. In Hebrews chapter 13, the writer of Hebrews is giving a list of duties and obligations of New Testament Christians. Hebrews 13:4, let marriage be had in honor among all. and let the bed undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. That one individual, Michael, who claims to be a clergyman in San Antonio, Texas, said, "We need to stop taking God out of the bedroom." No, I want him to be in the bedroom. I want him and his word there. And when he and his word are there, marriage will be pure. No, you have taken God out of the bedroom by allowing a sexual relationship outside of marriage to be fine. I say put him back in the bedroom and the bed will be pure because it will be an honorable marriage, and fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Yes. Amen. Keep him in the bedroom. Keep his word there. Keep his principles there. Look at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. "But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." This is hellfire, friends, and that's what awaits the 70 to 97% of individuals who think it's cool and fine and okay to have a sexual relationship outside of a God-given marriage. I don't think you want that, friend. I don't want that. So let's get out of that. Let's stop that if we are engaged in it. And let's live pure lives. So that's what the Bible says about fornication. We need to ignore what these so-called Christian ministers are saying and get back to letting the Bible speak in our lives about this topic and in any topic. So how do we flee from this? How do we stay away from this? The Apostle Paul talks about fleeing fornication. Stay away from it. How can we do that? How can we run from that? Those sexual urges, those desires that are in an individual. Flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. How can we run away? How can we stay away from that? Well, first of all, I would suggest that you guard your heart, that I guard my heart. Fornication can come from the heart, Matthew 15, 19 and Mark 7, 21. It starts in the heart with a desire to commit that act with someone. It might be someone that we really love or someone we don't, but it's a desire. And guard those desires. Don't let them come to fruition. Number two, don't pay the high cost for low living. The prodigal son wasted his substance with riotous living and with the harlots, which was the Greek word porne, related to our porneia, fornication, Luke 15, 13 and 30. And we're going to be with someone who allows their body to be used sexually. Don't pay the high cost for low living. Have honor and respect for your body. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, 13 through 18, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 4, to have honor and respect and to guard your vessel, your body in honor. Don't just use it as an object for gratification. Wait for there to be an emotional and physical bond that is honorable and that is God-given. Wait for a proper marriage. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2. Hebrews 13, verse 4. And if you are in a proper marriage, guard that bed. Let it be undefiled. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Knowing that fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Guard that like you would guard your children or guard your home or guard your finances. Guard your marriage. Don't get caught up in the fun of the world. There are people around us engaged in fornication, and when the Israelites were walking through the wilderness, Numbers 25, 1 through 9, they had gotten caught up in the sexual immorality around them. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 8. We just see people around us doing it, and it doesn't help that so-called Christian ministers are encouraging it. But we see the worldly people around us, our friends and co-workers and classmates at school, they all do it, so let's do it. Don't get caught up in that. It's a lie. It's a sin. Don't think that one time won't hurt. Don't listen to the seductive message that is out there in the movies and music and other places that's basically saying, here's how you can fornicate and really enjoy it. Don't listen to that. People will teach that, if not formally, informally through their messages. We read in Revelation 2, verse 14 and verse 20, that some were being taught to fornicate. Don't listen to that message. So flee from it. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication, run away. But let's close this morning on the program with what it really does. What does fornication really do? Is it safe sex? Is it fun? Is it cool? What does it do? You know, the devil always paints a beautiful picture of sin. And like a billboard, he advertises things that look really great, but you don't see the reality of it. Not just the reality of it being sin, according to God's word, but other things. What does fornication do? Well, it breaks a sacred trust. In Genesis 39, verse 8 and 9, when Potiphar's wife wanted to have a sexual relationship with Joseph, he had to literally run away. He ran and left his coat there. He wasn't going to stay. There's some common sense in that. If you stay, then there's a breakdown in your defenses, and you may end up doing what you don't want to do. But Joseph said in Genesis 39 and verse 8, the text says, he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knoweth not what is with me in the house, and he hath put all that he has into my hand. He is not greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because you are his wife. It's a sacred trust that you do not belong to me. You belong to him. And then number two, he says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin? Mr. Robertson, Miss Overy, Michael, the three so-called Christian preachers, and sin against God. Number one, it breaks a sacred trust. Number two, it's a sin against God. Number three, it'll ruin our reputation. There are several proverbs that talk about the man who goes to the loose woman, the adulterous woman, Proverbs 2, 16 through 19, Proverbs 5, 1 through 14, Proverbs 7, 5 through 27, Proverbs 9, 13 through 18. Four different major sections of the book of Proverbs speak to sexual immorality, and it causes all kinds of problems, and it brings you to ruin. The proverb writer says, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? Talking about this particular matter. You're going to burn, friend. There's going to be not a literal burning. There's going to be some burning in consequences. There's going to be some problems. You touch a hot stove, you're going to get burnt. You engage in sexual immorality, there's going to be some problem down the line. It can get a person killed, according to Proverbs 6, 24 through 35. Especially if you cross the wrong person. You have a sexual relationship with a woman, for example, and then her man gets hot and angry. There have been all kinds of people killed over love triangles, so to speak. It can harm the body with sexually transmitted diseases. And most importantly, It's sin against God. And you cannot be in the kingdom of God, and you cannot be in heaven in the end. Remember Revelation 21:8, fornicators, the lake that burns with fire. It can hurt innocent people, your spouse, your children, parents, society as a whole. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it more in society as a whole. And it's not good for us. It can hurt the person themselves. While you're engaged in the act, it might feel good. But then later there's emotional pain and guilt and burden and shame. And then the girl, the lady says, I'm pregnant. Now what do we do? And then that's when some people try to cover it up and they turn to abortion. So one sin leads to another. Friends, flee, run, stay away. And don't listen to these so-called ministers who are saying it's okay. Save yourself for a godly marriage. The sexual relationship is a beautiful thing. Look at Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. It is ordained by God. It is given by God. We're made in part as sexual creatures. But if you look at Genesis 1 and 2, it is in a godly marriage between a man and a woman. That's how the children are to be brought about. That's how the sexual gratification is to be fulfilled. Look at 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5. The sexual relationship is not just for children. It's also just for sexual gratification. It's that which is due our husband and wife, and we're to give our bodies fully to our husband and wife in that relationship. Read 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5. But it must be, Paul says, let each man have his own wife. That's where it is to be fulfilled. Friends, Satan offers beauty, but he only gives ugliness. He offers power, but he gives ruin. He offers freedom, but gives slavery. He offers fun, but he gives sorrow and regret. He offers popularity, but he gives shame. He offers respect, but he gives disgrace. He promises life, but he only brings death. So, fornication is not safe sex. And we need to get back to letting the Bible speak. If you have engaged in that in your life, you can be forgiven. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, some of them were fornicators at Corinth when Paul came there in Acts 18. But they heard the gospel, they believed it, they were baptized into Christ, they left that life. You can do that very thing. And if we can sit down and study together, contact us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. Come visit us. We'll sit down with an open Bible and an open mind and learn what we need to do to get out of those sins of our past. The bad news is that sin brings death. The good news is we can be saved from that through Jesus Christ. Thank you for your time and attention this morning. We appreciate you joining us on the program, and we hope that you'll have a good day.